That's Ken.
All right. So how do you want to start?
Ken was desperate, so he showed up.
That's true. Hello, everyone. It's good to see you. Normally, when we do our videos, I got them pre-recorded a little bit ahead of time, but I was just running out of time, so I went to Janelle and said, hey, can you come down and record a video with me?
Seems to make things run faster for him for some reason. I don't know why.
So how's Pascal doing?
He's good. He's 3 months old now. And yes, he should be sleeping right now, but he doesn't want to go to sleep.
I would have to say he's a little bit more... Is the word colicky right?
I don't know if that's... I don't know.
Maybe it's another C word.
I think
word.
It's just... Cranky. I think it's just our life is so busy and it's hard to always know what he wants and put him down before he gets overtired, you know, things like that.
Right. So today you have a couple
yes,
things on
a few
your
things
heart.
That I'm learning. Yeah, so I just wanted to talk about what I'm learning right now because I've got about 4 different things on the go. Number one... I'm renewing our consecration to Our Lady through the Fatima consecration. And so that's something that Ken and I did together. We did it for the first time last year. And so I'm watching the videos every single day. It's just really good to be reminded of the message of Fatima and how our Lord is deeply...
he farted, but I don't think it picked up on the mic. It wasn't me.
It's good to be reminded of how God is deeply offended by our sin. And, you know, just being reminded of the great miracle of Fatima and the dancing sun and, you know, what Our Lady was teaching to the children and how it was, this message was given to children. And so if it can be given to children, surely we can embrace, you know, what Our Lady was asking, which is like daily rosary, you know, repentance for our sins, you know, just a call to deeper conversion. So, having said that, the second thing that I'm learning is there's this book that I've had for probably a year and a half. It's called The Flame of Love. And I just started reading that one. And it's just interesting to me that a lot of what was said in the messages of Fatima are also shared in the message of The Flame of Love, which is given to a woman named Elizabeth Kindleman. So she had apparitions from Jesus and Mary. And... again, Jesus often comes to her sad and sorrowful because nobody is listening to him. You know, he's acting like a beggar, begging for our hearts. And, you know, those that he thought would be followers of his, like even he's talking about religious and priests and those who have embraced the faith are choosing the ways of the world rather than choosing him. And so anyhow, I'm not that far in the book, but that's been really good too.
Is the message about also doing penance and for sins of the world?
Yes, in there? Yes. Oh, most certainly.
So I'm not familiar with
yes,
what you're reading.
Yes, it's very much so about doing reparation for sin.
Reparation. It's interesting because I've been reading a lot of Blessed Anna Maria Tiigi. So that's been a topic of previous videos without Janelle here. Mm-hmm. And today I was continuing to study about her and... how she had this disc, this sun that she could see in her mind, in her with her eyes before her, and God would reveal certain things, some of which was the sins of countries and kingdoms and leaders, and for what purpose? And it was for the purpose for her to do reparation, and also she was able to recognize the type of chastisements that God would send because of the type of sin upon certain areas or kingdoms. And this is really a message, maybe you would agree or not, but that has kind of been lost. This whole idea of chastisement. We've moved into a kind of a place within the church where everything has to be so pastoral and we can't hurt people's feelings. And so we have to speak in a way that doesn't push a person's button. But sometimes truth does that. It pushes our buttons so that we move towards Jesus. And definitely with the mystic of Blessed Anna Maria Tiigi, there is a theme there as well of repentance and sin, and that God does chastise his people out of love. Mm-hmm. It is out of love that God allows suffering. And I think sometimes we have lost this. And so it's good to go back to these mystics, go back to what Our Lady is saying, because it's a quite a repetitive theme with Our Lady, especially.
Yeah, there's so many parallels, you know, really. But why would God ever contradict himself? He can't.
That's a good point.
And so we shouldn't be surprised when we see these messages being repeated, you know, throughout the decades and throughout the centuries to different people, for us now to live. And that's the thing. It's a timeless message that we can live out now, even though some of these apparitions happened in the early 1900s, or even with Elizabeth Kindleman, it was still this century. It wasn't even that long ago.
Right.
Actually, the 20th century.
With Blessed Anna Maria Teja, when I've been reading, especially the last couple of days, it's kind of been moving in my heart about how much of my life is caught up in self-love. And how much of it is out of love for God. Because with Blessed Anna Maria Teiji, she was given the ability to see a person's eternal resting place after they died when she started praying for them. Mm-hmm. And her insights into purgatory... Her insights into purgatory have been really, I don't know, unsettling for me, just in the fact that, am I loving Jesus for his sake? Mm-hmm. Or am I in self-promotion mode? Even in ministry, why do we do this? Mm-hmm. Is it because we want to make God's love known, or is this self-promotion? Mm-hmm. And if we do ever cross that line into self-promotion, at least with Blessed Anna Maria Teiji's messages, we will be judged. Mm-hmm. And there's a consequence for that. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, though, is it's very difficult to judge another person's soul and their relationship with God by just appearance alone. She brought up a story about this man who was quite well known in their time. He was a count. He was wealthy. He spent a lot of his money on himself. And she said he was a lover of travel. And his mind was caught up in this travel, always going around. And to the outside observer, she said, it would have appeared, though, that he was not really a Christian. But when he died, she saw his soul in purgatory. And he was saved because he forgave a person who did harm to him. Not only did he forgive this person, but he did an act of kindness towards this person. And so her point is that love covers a multitude of sins. This is out of 1 Peter 4:8. And oftentimes I think of that scripture passage, and it's God's love that covers my multitude of sins, which of course is true. But the love that we show each other covers our multitude of sins. So then when we are judged by God and he sees the love that we have shown to other people, it's like this is a covering for us. His mercy comes to us because we've been so loving and kind and generous towards other people. And the insights with Blessed Anna Maria Teiji, she sees people in purgatory and they have been saved because of acts of love that they have shown to other people.
That's interesting.
So I found myself even in the house, kids ask me to do something. And I find this resistance sometimes. You know, we got 7 kids. The oldest is 11. This is the youngest. And everyone needs something all the time.
If you're just standing there, they will find something to ask you.
So am I responding? This is my self-reflection, friends. This is not an examination of your heart. But am I responding in love for them? Because I think the primary way that we as a couple work out our salvation is in our relationship, mm-hmm. and in raising these little ones. Mm-hmm. You who are watching, your situation is different, but the judgment's the same. It'll be by the law of love.
Yes, and nobody is dispensed from that. Okay, so the last thing that I've been kind of pondering a little more these days is the correlation that comes between discipline in your fitness and the spiritual life. Because for me, you know, I've been doing exercise pretty regularly, like every day, except for maybe not the weekends, for about 8 years. I know it might not look like it, but I have been. And I'm so grateful because I feel like it's not necessarily, I don't do it for appearance. I do it because it gets my heart rate up. It helps me to feel better. It helps me feel strong. It helps me to feel like I've got a little, you know, jump in my step. And then in turn, that helps me to better serve God. I'm just noticing that when I become undisciplined or lax, like even in the way, like, oh, I turn my workout video off early because I'm just tired or I don't want to finish it. Or I choose lighter weights because I just don't want to put that effort in. I see how that trickles into other areas of my life throughout the day. You know, even if my alarm goes off and I press snooze, when sometimes you have good reason to sleep a little longer, but sometimes it's just because you're lazy and you don't want to wake up. And the last little while, when my alarm goes off, I've been getting up at the time that I want to get up. And my day has gone so much better. It's like the first act of your day is a disciplined act. It's filled with that virtue of discipline, and then it helps you and it lends itself to like more grace for the next decision. Then you press play on your workout and you do your prayers in the morning. It's almost like a snowball, you know? You do one thing right and then it keeps making a bigger snowball, and you just then the next thing you know, you've had a really good day.
Yeah, you know, the undisciplined life is a miserable life.
Yeah,
it is, because it really leads to vice.
Yeah, and I've seen that in my own life, because I struggle with different things. And when I start choosing the other way, the path of least resistance, I'm not happy. I'm not a happy person. God, He's designed life that if we choose what is right, good, beautiful, it gives us the fruits of like peace, joy, happiness. And so why wouldn't we want to do that? I know it's harder, but it's better.
Just to make sure you understand that Ken and Janelle over here don't have everything all together. There's areas of our life that are undisciplined. You know, we're work in mm-hmm. progress. And if you look at your life and you find, oh, there's a lot of areas of being undisciplined, whether it be in fitness and prayer, in the exercise of virtue, not to beat yourself up about mm-hmm. that, because God, in His mercy, is forward-looking. But what the devil does is he likes to get us to see things in reverse, for us to look back over our shoulder and look at all the mistakes we've done. And he will say, you see, that's who you are. That is your future. But mercy doesn't work that way. God is forward-looking. He's definitely aware of our past. But all we have to do is pick ourselves up, ask for His mercy, mm-hmm. because mercy is forward-looking. Mm-hmm. And that's the nature of God's love. And so discouragement does not have a place in the Christian life.
Right. And I've seen that, because, you know, I've been trying to, you know, be a little more consistent with the way eating well. And I get discouraged when I don't. And I think that Satan can really play on those areas of weakness in our life. And it makes you just want to throw in the towel. You just don't want to continue. What's the point? But no, there is a point. You know, there's nothing too little for God. Even when it comes to, you know, how we spend our minutes, how we eat during the day, you know.
The gift of perseverance is so key, isn't it? Because that's what the saints had. You know, they persevered their entire life. Or maybe it was just part of their life, but they persevered until the end.
Right.
The gift of final perseverance should be sought for daily, because then we will persevere by God's grace daily until the end. But it's a grace that we ask for daily. And I think of the Hail Mary, pray for us sinners now mm-hmm. and at the hour of our death. Mm-hmm. Amen. Those two things, now and at the hour of our death. And if we're asking Our Lady's intercession for those two moments, now until the hour of death, what happens? Is that gap gets smaller and smaller and smaller until they are one. That now becomes the hour of death. And Our Lady will grant us that gift of final perseverance. Mm-hmm. So with that, maybe we should stop persevering in this video.
Yeah, it's going to get too long.
Thanks for watching, friends. Just a little ask at the end here. If you've been blessed by our ministry and you would like to help us continue bless others, we are dependent upon people who support us on a monthly financial basis. If you're interested in that, we would greatly appreciate your financial help. whether it be $5 or $10 a month, it really does make a difference on our end. And so I will put a link in the description below. We have a new option now. It's outside of Patreon. It's just through the PayPal donate button. The fees are much lower. And then it gives the option of different currencies mm-hmm. to support. So thank you for that consideration. We really appreciate it. And
do you want to let them know what they have to look forward to?
What do they have to look forward to?
You're going to be doing something different soon.
Oh, yes.
You should give them some forewarning.
But something new is going to be happening on this channel. But I'm not ready to tell you. But the anticipation is building. And it's been building for 3 years. So stay tuned. Hopefully we can have some news hopefully next week. Yeah.
We'll see.
Bye-bye.